evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, and here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, August 21st, 2015. The U.S. calls on President Kiir to retract his threat to journalists who report more than the government side.
We are obviously deeply concerned by President Kiir's comments regarding journalists earlier this week, and we call on him to disavow those words.
And a governor held by security agents for 5 days after being fired is released.
I think they looked after me very well in the Kulodi detention, and I'm back here with my family.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The international community is expressing concern about increasing violence against journalists in South Sudan following the death of newspaper reporter Moy Peter Julius, who was gunned down in Juba. His death came days after President Salva Kiir threatened to kill journalists who, quote, work against the country, unquote. The United States wants Mr. Kiir to retract that statement, as our reporter Ian Bior reports from Washington.
State Department spokesman John Kirby extended condolences to Peter's family yesterday and called for a thorough investigation into the 27-year-old reporter's death.
We call on the South Sudanese authorities and security services to expeditiously and thoroughly investigate this incident. We do not want to speculate on the nature of the incident or any connections there may be to other matters. Separate and distinct, we are obviously deeply concerned by President Kiir's comments regarding journalists earlier this week, and we call on him to disavow those words.
But a spokesman for South Sudan's Foreign Affairs Ministry defended President Kiir, saying what he said on Sunday was taken out of context.
The president did not say anything that was really antagonistic to journalism.
Mawin Makola Rik here also said South Sudanese journalists enjoyed the right to free speech.
You know, in South Sudan, yeah, we are a democratic country, and the journalism is free here. And I think as regards to the journalistics work here, there's no any hindrance to their work. They express their views. All the media houses there, they express their views. And they talk freely to what they wanted to say about the government, about their opinions with the peace process. And this is something that has been going on, and it's going on, and the government has no any interference with that whatsoever. And that's why we have different journalistics here that are here operating and expressing their views.
Like the United States, other members of the international community don't see it that way, though. The German Federal Commissioner for Human Rights, Policy and Humanitarian Aid, Christoph Stresser, said he was deeply shocked by the news of Peter's death. In a statement, Stresser called the intimidation of South Sudanese journalists unacceptable. He says, quote, "This gives us great concern. It cannot be that people who are committed to peaceful coexistence, transparency, and truth are persecuted and intimidated," unquote. The Director General of the United Nations Cultural Agency, UNESCO, has also condemned the killing of Peter. Irina Bokova says in a statement, quote, "Citizens rely on the media to make informed choices, which is why journalists must be able to practice their profession in safe conditions. I urge the authorities to investigate this case thoroughly in the interest of press freedom and rule of law," unquote. For VOA News, I'm Ian Bior in Washington.
Waki Simon Wudu and Dimo Silva contributed to that report from Juba and WOW. A demonstration sponsored by the SPLM saw a very low turnout today. Despite yesterday's announcement and an invitation to Juba residents by members of a pro-government organization to turn up at that rally and show their support for President Kiir's decision not to sign the peace deal, very few people appeared today at the John Garang Mausoleum in the capital. Journalists outraged over the killing of their colleague Moy Peter Julius refused to cover that rally. Oliver Modi, the head of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan, says journalists in Juba spontaneously boycotted the rally. He says he and many other South Sudanese journalists went instead to the morgue where their slain colleague's body had been taken. Modi says the mood was, as one would expect, very somber. There was a rally in WOW today to show support for President Kiir. The organizers of that rally say they want to send a message that the agreement signed in Addis by opposition chief Riek Machar and former detainee Pagana Mum is not welcomed by the people of Western Bahar el-Ghazal. Dimo Silva Oriello has that story for VOA from WOW.
Around 500 public sector employees, farmers, civil society activists, and school children showed up for the pro-government demonstration in Wau. Some carried banners reading, "We support the Entebbe Agreement proposal," a reference to a deal struck by South Sudan's immediate neighbors that is separate from the IGAD Plus agreement that was signed in Addis Ababa. Other placards read, "No reward for Riek Machar." The protesters walked from Peace Square to the governor's office, where they handed a letter to the UNMISS state coordinator, Winnie Babihuga. The letter outlined 7 complaints the protesters have with the IGAD peace process. Valentino Majok is the SPLM state secretary general in Western Baal Ghazal. He says the protesters are committed to lasting peace and ending the bloodshed in South Sudan, but reject parts of the deal signed in Addis Ababa. Majok outlined some of the points of contention in a speech at the rally.
"We uttered the word no with a strong and loud voice to the demilitarization of Juba City and the political decision at presidency. Big no to rewarding and compensating Dr. Riek Machar his devastating, destructive, senseless war against the government and the people of South Sudan. The war which resulted into great losses of life, wide displacement, refuge and shame to South Sudan. Another big no to power sharing in the state. No, 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 and no more war and new colonization style imposed on the free South Sudan. No and no way for two armies. Yes to the Entebbe Declaration of August 10, 2015. We vow to bravely protect the sovereigns of our beloved country, South Sudan."
Zakaria Joseph Garang is the deputy governor for Western Baal Ghazal. Garang says the protesters reject the IGAD agreement because it panders too much to outside interests when it should be focused on the needs of the people of South Sudan. Garang says it is not for the international community to solve South Sudan's problems, but for South Sudanese themselves. He says the international community, and particularly the United States, have been unable to end the many conflicts in the Middle East. So how can anyone expect them to help South Sudan to restore peace? The demonstration in Wau comes 5 days after President Kiir declined to sign the IGAD Plus peace agreement for South Sudan. IGAD Plus gave Mr. Kiir 15 days from Monday to sign the deal. And United States officials say Mr. Kiir told U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry that he will, in fact, sign the agreement soon. The lead mediator for IGAD Plus, Seyon Mesfin, has said no more changes will be made to the agreement. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting from Wau.
South Sudanese journalists today called for a blackout on media coverage throughout the country. By downing their pens, laptops and recorders, journalists are demanding that the government explain the circumstances surrounding the death of the slain journalist. VOA fellow Kaltuma Vanessa reports.
Journalists voted today at a meeting in Juba to down tool in protest at Peter's death. Alfred Taban is the chairman of the Association for Media Development in South Sudan. He says by stopping work,
"We just hope to raise awareness amongst the readers and listeners of the radios and readers of newspapers in South Sudan to know that really we journalists are not happy with the way the government has been handling things, and to put pressure on the government to move quickly to try to find the killer of this boy."
The media blockout took effect from 11 o'clock Juba time and affects all events across the country for a period of 24 hours. The journalists also hope their protests will get President Kiir to explain what he meant with the threatening statement he made to the media before he left for Addis Ababa on Sunday. Taban says the media have faced increasing harassment and had to deflect numerous threats and shutdowns in recent days. Two newspapers, The Citizen and Al Rai, and Dutch media group was shut down in the past 2 weeks. And Kirill's statement and Peter's death came hard on the heels of those forced closures. Taban says the government is violating its own media laws with the crackdown on the media.
The media authority is theoretically supposed to be enforced, although practically I'm not so sure. They should be using these bodies to deal with the media, you know, to address issues, to address areas of concern. This is the body that should be handling media matters, but now it is the security which is the media authority.
James Deng Dimo is a reporter in Western Baragazal State. He says journalists around South Sudan need the government to be transparent and open about Peter's death.
I have to call on the government of South Sudan, our government, to really make any statement, a statement that can tell journalists if the perpetrators behind the death of our journalist had been arrested or not, because it has come in coincidence to the recent statement of the head of state last Sunday that those journalists who are against the government will be killed.
Peter is expected to be laid to rest in his hometown of Kajukeji today. Officials in the town, which is about 45 miles outside of Juba, tell us that Peter's body was transferred to Kajukeji from the capital early today, and a prayer service will be held at his family home before he is interred. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Washington.
The former governor of Western Equatoria State was released today after being held for 5 days by government security agents in an unknown location. VOA fellow Tito Justin spoke with the governor just hours after his release.
I'm safe and I'm okay.
Bakasoro says he was treated well during his detention in Juba.
I think they looked after me very well in the Kulosi detention, and I'm back here with my family. That is one. The second is that I congratulate also the president for relieving me from this detention. I think he was very concerned, and he released me this afternoon, and I'm here in the house.
President Kiir gave no explanation for firing the four governors. Bakasoro was the only governor that was detained by security personnel. Under Article 101 of South Sudan's transitional constitution, the president has the right to expel any governor whenever that governor is considered a threat to national security. Bakasoro says he still doesn't know why he was detained.
I have not been informed why I was detained, but I was just told to go home, and probably it is political.
The four sacked governors have not yet been given another job in the country. Bakasoro says he intends for a new job from the president because he wants to continue serving the needs of people of his country.
I will go and appeal to him to give me any job anywhere, anytime. I'm ready to serve under his leadership. It is not a mistake to relieve me. I congratulate the new governor, and I'm going to work with him closely so that we can achieve the objectives.
Bakasoro was a democratically elected governor. He has won his elections in 2010. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A World Food Program warehouse is looted in Bor. We'll have details on that story after this.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what kind of books do you like to read?
For me, I read novels. Especially, there's a book called From Dictatorship to Democracy. This is where I normally spend my time. So how to dismantle dictatorship and how democratic can be put in place or can be put in practice.
I just like to read all these politics books. Like, there is one written by Nicole Machiavelli, the Prince of Burma. He talks about how politics actors, they exercise power, how politics is a dirty game, because like Nicole Machiavelli is a realist.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations says its World Food Program compound in Bor was looted early this morning by an armed group who apparently scaled the compound's fence in the back of the building. A large number of criminals apparently were involved in the incident, that according to one state official. VOA's Jacob Achek has more from Bor.
The criminal met up with computers, matrollers, food and money from the WAP warehouse, about 5 kilometers from the town center. No suspect has been arrested. State Minister of Law Enforcement Peter Wal Athew described what happened.
A group of thieves climbed the wall of World Food Program in Bor, in Pakwa area, and they managed to broke in into the offices of World Food Program, and they have, I think, stolen some computers, and they damaged the safe where money is kept.
Wal says footprints from the criminal that trail from the compound appear to lead to a forest east of town. Wal says police are investigating.
And up to now, no arrest has been made, and we hope we'll arrest them because there's a crackdown on crimes these days. We have arrested most of these gangs by our CID police, and we are still following up the rest. So we hope we'll arrest them soon. Better than later.
A crime wave continued unabated in the Bor area. Last night, robbery following the killing of motorists by unidentified gunmen on Sunday in Bor. On Tuesday night, a woman was murdered in her sleep. A straight of nighttime robbery and killing have occurred in Bor over the last 2 months. The mayor of the Jonglei state capital, Nial Majak Nial, told VOA that several police officers are among the 17 suspects arrested earlier this week in the government crackdown on crime. He said all of them are in custody and investigations are continuing. In June, food supplies were stolen after a fire tore through a UN Food and Agricultural Organization warehouse in Bor. And more than $100,000 were stolen when robbers broke into the Catholic Relief Services compound in Bor the same month. The thieves were never caught. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
Meanwhile, in Sudan, the WFP is changing the way it helps victims of the conflict in Darfur. WFP operations will now focus on long-term relief and recovery in Darfur instead of on emergency operations there. South Sudan in Focus reporter Ian Bior has more.
For the past 8 years, Sudan's WFP has operated as an emergency service, providing food and shelter to victims of the conflicts in Darfur. WFP spokeswoman Amor Almagro says many of those victims have lived in the camps for so long that they have figured out how to feed themselves and no longer need the monthly food ration that the WFP hands out. She says this transition is important because it allows WFP to become better equipped to meet the changing needs of displaced population in Sudan.
It is one of the series of measures the WFP has taken to ensure that it is providing the right type of assistance to the evolving needs of the people in Darfur.
By shifting its focus, the WFP wants to make sure that people who have made their lives in refugee and IDP camps don't have to rely on aid agencies to provide all their needs. The WFP says the majority of people affected by conflict in Sudan live in Darfur. As it transitions to providing long-term relief and recovery programs, the WFP expects to provide vulnerable populations in Sudan with nearly 500,000 tons of food assistance and cash vouchers of at least $100 million. Almagro says the main goal is to help refugees and IDPs become independent.
Displaced people that we have been assisting, some of them have become self-sufficient and are now in need of other types of assistance that will help them to be self-reliant and will no longer need assistance from WFP.
Almagro says part of the WFP transition involves training women to make fuel-efficient stoves and handicrafts to give them a source of livelihood. The WFP is also planning to open women's centers so that more families who were once crippled by violence can become self-sufficient. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
Turning to Somalia now, three soldiers there with the African Union Mission, or AMISOM, have been indicted in connection with the killing of Somali civilians last month. VOA's Steve Baragoma has the story.
African Union forces killed seven civilians on July 31st in the Somali town of Marka, said AMISOM Chief Maman Sidiku at a press conference in Nairobi on Friday.
This incident has happened. It's tragic. It's terrible. It's going to be investigated thoroughly.
Human Rights Watch says that in the July 31st incident, Ugandan soldiers entered several houses after a nearby bomb attack on an AMISOM convoy. It says that in one house, where a wedding was taking place, the soldiers separated the men from the women and shot six men, four brothers, their father, and an uncle. It was not clear who was the seventh victim, Sidiku mentioned. Three Ugandan peacekeepers were indicted for violating rules of engagement, he said. AMISOM Commander Lieutenant General Jonathan Rono said his forces in Marka are under frequent attack from Islamist group Al-Shabaab, but operate under strict protocols.
The environment we are operating, of course you are aware, is a very difficult one, but all said and done, these instructions are there, and our job is to make sure they are followed.
There have been several recent reports of AMISOM peacekeepers killing Somali civilians. Sidiku said all are being investigated. Sidiku said the Somali military, local and federal governments, and the Marka community will take part in the investigation of the incident. It is expected to take about 2 weeks. Steve Baragona, VOA News, Nairobi.
In a bid to combat deforestation, Jonglei state officials launched a tree planting exercise in Bor Town yesterday. Farmers and charcoal sellers cut down trees without government restriction. But some farmers complain that they need seeds and tools from the government, not trees. Jacob Achek reports for VOA News from Bor.
Official with the Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry in Jonglei State says the tree planting exercise is intended to avoid total deforestation and replace trees that have been cut down. They are selling thousands of trees to the public to refurbish forests greatly diminished by the cutting in and around Bor Town. Jonglei Agriculture and Forestry Minister Mayene Ngora Tim says the ministry has planted more than 30,000 trees of different varieties in Bor necessary.
The most important tree here is the ficus. It is called Ficus nigida, which is very resistant and tolerant to heat, to drought, to smoke, to dust. And at the same time, it is very responsive for pruning. You can prune it to any shape that you want. So this is the most important tree that we can use along the road of Jonglei.
Mayan says the tree will be planted along Bor Main Street and around residential areas, which will provide shade on hot day for about 500 households. State Acting Governor Baba Medan says the tree planting exercise will also improve Jonglei State's development prospect.
We need to build this state and we need to make it a better place for the people of South Sudan and people of Jonglei State.
But Abraham Ayamalwal, who is a farmer in Bor Town, thinks the government should have different priorities. He says the state government should concentrate on reducing the threat of hunger in Jonglei State by subsidizing farmers.
Planting trees is important, but food is the best. Planting trees is for development. After you are enough food, people hungry, not good for planting trees. Because nobody can plant tree without food. Tree is not benefit community. It's a food is the one who benefit community.
But agriculture ministry official says the necessary yield multiple benefit because it will be used as a training ground for all agriculturalists. Minister Mayan said if peace is finally achieved in South Sudan, the program may intend it to all counties in the state. Mayan says the influx of returnees and internally displaced persons who leave Jonglei State during the earlier month of the conflict lead to rise in the clear cutting of trees, both for charcoal burning and to provide more land for settlement. It is hoped that the tree planting will reverse that trend. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's news. The United States is urging President Salva Kiir to take back a threat he made to kill journalists who do not report favorable news about the government following the shooting death of a political reporter, Moy Peter Julius. After Peter was shot and killed in Juba, State Department spokesman John Kirby yesterday extended condolences to Peter's family and called for a thorough investigation into the 27-year-old reporter's death. In memory of Peter, South Sudanese journalists today called for a blackout on media coverage throughout the country. They refused to cover a pro-government rally in Juba and other towns across the country. The journalists are demanding that the government explain the circumstances surrounding the journalist's death. No suspects have been arrested. Oliver Modi, the head of the Union of Journalists in South Sudan, says reporters' decision to boycott the Juba rally was a spontaneous reaction. Modi says instead he and many other South Sudanese reporters showed up today at the morgue where their slain colleague's body had been taken. Modi says the mood was, as one would expect, very somber. When they left the morgue, the journalists gathered at the union office and agreed to declare the 24 hours of mourning, as well as a media blackout. President Kiir, who was expected to appear at that rally in Juba, was a no-show. And finally, the former governor of Western Equatoria State was released today after being held for days by government security agents in an unknown location. Former Governor Joseph Bakasoro of Western Equatoria State was released after being held for 5 days by government security agents somewhere in Juba. He told VOA he was safe and treated well. He also congratulated the new governor and said he hoped President Kiir would give him another posting. He was one of four governors President Kiir fired hours before arriving in Addis Ababa earlier this week to attend the peace talks. President Kiir gave no explanation for firing the governors. Bakasoro was the only governor detained by security personnel. Under Article 101 of South Sudan's transitional constitution, the president may fire any governor whenever that governor or his actions are considered a threat to national security. Bakasoro says he still does not know why he was detained. And that's a look at today's top stories, and that's our show for this Friday and the week. We leave you with the song Marina by Samba Mapangala. Listening to Samba Mapangala with the song Samba. Marina by Samba Mapangala, that is. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Have a good weekend. We hope you can join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.